Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We promised you Ralph Vacchiato, and by golly, we've tracked him down, and he's ready to talk about these two great, great football teams that he gets to cover for SNY, the Jets and the Giants. Ralph, how are we?
How could I not be great covering these two teams?
Oh, come on. You got, I mean, it's just a winter wonderland and be beautiful out at the Meadowlands tomorrow. Perfect weather for football.
Awesome. I can't wait.
I'll tell you what, whatever you're making, you earned it. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. So what do we make of where we are right now? I mean, you know, you look at the Giants and it's one playoff appearance since the Super Bowl. And that was a 25-point loss to the Packers. And other than that, it's been so difficult to get a handle on where they're headed. And it seems right now that everybody is as negative as I can recall in terms of trying to get a handle on what identity they have and where they are actually headed and how they're going to go about becoming legitimate again in a week, what turned into a weak NFC East. What are your thoughts about their future?
Well, I think their future isn't terrible at the moment because I think they've done something they probably should have done 5 years ago, and that's bottomed out. And that's obvious now when you look at this team, and, you know, I'm sure it doesn't mean a lot to fans who have been suffering, but sometimes you have to do that before you start the real rebuilding. And I've been thinking about this a lot to try to figure out where this franchise went wrong. And I think you've got to go back about 5 years to those last few years of the Tom Coughlin era. They've been kind of listless ever since, where they're, you know, one minute they look like, okay, we've got enough to compete, let's spend a lot, and then they're back to rebuilding, and they haven't really had a direction. And now I think for the first time, they've got it. They change quarterbacks. They go all young on defense, and I think they understand that, even though they'll never admit it, they're in a full rebuild mode right now. And, you know, I think they have some nice young pieces. I think it's going in the right direction, but I also think it's probably going to take a lot of time.
When they re-signed, or not re-signed, but elected to keep Manning at full price, what was the scenario that made that make sense to them if they knew, which apparently they did, that they were going to draft Jones sixth because no one was going to take Jones before six? So what do you think they were thinking at that time?
Well, I know what they were thinking was that Eli Manning would be their guy, and it was, again, that they didn't want to fully commit to the rebuild. They thought, we have enough here. Let's let Eli go half a season. Let's see if they can get us to 500. Then we're in the playoff race, and think of all the things that Daniel Jones can learn by watching Eli Manning. I think they really believed that they had enough to be a 500-type team under Eli, and I don't know whether Pat Shurmur got a little jumpy watching Eli play or they realized that they misevaluated the talent around him. Obviously, if you're just going to go two games with Eli Manning, it makes no sense to bring him back for all that money. But I think at the time, they really envisioned him playing half a season or more.
All right, that's fair. I mean, I was just trying to figure out how they were going to work it because, they put themselves in a position where their highest paid player and their first pick couldn't be on the field at the same time. So to me,
right,
it never made a lot of sense if they knew, and I think they did, that they were going to get Daniel Jones. Now, if they didn't know they were going to get Daniel Jones, they thought somebody else might take him, et cetera, well, then, you know, then it makes more sense to me. All right, let's look ahead at what they want out of the rest of this season. Obviously, the development of the quarterback is what both of these New York teams want. Outside of that, what else are we looking to see, and how legitimate is everyone's concern about Barkley right now in your mind?
Well, I'll start with the first question. I think what they want to see is growth in their young players. That's paramount. You know, you obviously Daniel Jones, you want to see him get experience, but you want to start to see something out of you know, their other first-rounders, Dexter Lawrence, DeAndre Baker, the cornerback, Julian Love now at safety, and Sam Beal at cornerback. Let's see that, you know, if those guys show some flashes and some promise, maybe they've got some building blocks for a defense for next year. And even some second-year players, like linebacker Lorenzo Carter, you know, show something the rest of this way. And, you know, maybe even more important, I think Pat Shurmur is going to need some wins at some point. And, you know, maybe that's secondary to the development, but it might be primary for his job. As for Saquon Barkley, I don't worry long-term. I think they're a little perplexed by what they're seeing. You know, he makes some moves that make you think, wow, he's healthy, he's ready to go. And then you watch him run, and he just doesn't have that same burst, and you think he must be hurt. A lot of it, from my understanding, a lot of they believe a lot of the blame is the fact that he is getting pounded behind the line of scrimmage by an offensive line that isn't what they thought it was going to be. So I think they still feel good long-term about him, but, you know, he might not be full strength, and he certainly doesn't have the supporting cast at the moment.
All right, let's get to the Jets. They looked so good last week, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, really don't. First of all, I didn't think they had it in them. Secondly, I know you take it with a grain of salt. Oakland never wins here. They haven't won since the 90s. It's a tough trip. It's 10 a.m. for them, and you know, you go through all the excuses that you can make. But the amount of time that Sam had to prove what kind of talent he has with time and the way they made plays defensively, it just seemed like it was a whole new team came out of some different locker room, some third locker room in the Meadowlands. And I don't know what to make of it going forward or how seriously to take it. How did you come out of last Sunday?
Well, I came out of it thinking, you know, it was obviously we saw a couple of signs of this developing over the previous weeks, but they were playing such bad teams, you didn't want to believe it. This was a legitimate win, you know, no matter the circumstances. The Raiders were pretty good.
Yeah.
And the win was convincing. So what I came away thinking was this was the Jets team we were supposed to have this year. And for all the angst at the beginning of the season, you can't forget that they were just an injury-plagued mess those first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, and that killed their season. If you take away those 5 weeks, and right after that, whatever it is at Sam Darnold, whatever week he came back and was fully healthy, and the clock starts there, this is the Jets team we were supposed to have 4 or 5 games into the season that would get better and better and maybe make a run at the playoffs. And they had that stolen from them early on, but I think the development to me is on track now. I think that they've got a lot of good young players, a lot of holes. They can't be fooled thinking they've arrived, but enough good young players where if they do the right things this offseason, fortify that offensive line, get a few more pieces on defense, I think they could really be a legitimate playoff team next year because they've got the biggest piece, which is the quarterback, and he's really starting to come into form now.
What was the most surprising success of last week to you?
As far as the Jets go?
Yes.
I think, I don't know if it was surprising. I was most impressed with Sam Darnold, the way he was able to, you know, go against a legitimate opponent. He wasn't just shredding, you know, the Miami Dolphins or the Giants. This was a legitimate team, and he looked poised. Maybe the most surprising is he had time to throw behind an offensive line that really had been bad all year long and had been injury plagued. A lot of that is Sam Darnold being able to roll out and escape, but he didn't take the beating that he had taken earlier in the year, and those two things together made for a really strong offense.
And defensively, these corners, I mean, I am at a loss in terms of trying to – I'm anxious for tomorrow just to see if – anything that I saw last Sunday will translate into this Sunday. I know that they're not, you know, if the Jets were really as good as they played last week, they'd be a lot bigger favorite tomorrow against the 0-11 Bengals. But that said, I'd love to see some carryover from either of these two teams because the one thing we haven't seen as fans about these two local teams that you cover is any sense of continuity between one week and the next. The Jets are finally showing us some.
Yeah, and that's good that they're finally doing that. You do want to see it a little more long-term, but you're seeing it now, I think, in some of the spots where you didn't expect to see it. You mentioned the Jets cornerbacks. You know, that was an atrocious mess for most of the year. They're down so many guys with injuries, for them to now start to show some consistency with a guy like Bless Austin, you know, the sixth rounder out of Rutgers who barely played in college because of his two torn ACLs, becoming, you know, one of the better cornerbacks in the league by everybody's grades and doing it for a couple of weeks in a row. That's a great sign to see that offensive line do it for a couple of weeks. And to even, you know, get it, you don't even really see the Jets running on all cylinders yet because Le'Veon Bell still hasn't gotten going. So there's a chance for them to actually get even better. But, you know, yeah, you do want to see it build. And I said this in my game preview on SNY, and, you know, especially for the Jets, this week would be the typical ultimate Jet loss. If you want to believe that they have turned a corner, that they're, you know, moving towards that next level, this is a game they have to win. They can't fall down against the 0-11 Bengals.
No, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Let's close with Mara's patience in your mind. A lot of noise, a lot of disappointment. It has been a while now since the Giants have been taken seriously with 3 wins and 5 wins, and right now with 2 wins and people projecting them to finish with 4 or 5 again. Where is John Mara in your mind in terms of his attitude toward his football team?
Well, I've known John Mara for...
Is he I guess what I'm saying is, he bored? Is he angry? Is he emotional? Oh, is he laid back? Where is he?
Yeah, he's angry. I've known him for more than 2 decades, and I saw him after the last home game walking by reporters, his face red. He looked about as angry as I've seen him in years, and there's been a lot to be angry about over these last few years. People behind the scenes say the same thing. He's frustrated. How angry is, you know, we're going to find out, because he is patient by nature. And I can tell you for a fact from everybody I talked to in the organization, he does not want to make a coaching change. He does not want to be that owner that is on his third coach in 5 years. It's just not the way good franchises are run. But I think over these last 5 games, he needs to see a reason to keep Pat Shurmur. And he's going to be looking, and it's going to be, it may not be wins, it might be a team playing hard, it might be signs of development, it might be something, but he can't have, you know, blowout losses and empty stands and angry fans, because he's ticked off enough as it is and could very easily be tipped over the edge where he's got to make wholesale changes.
All right, Ralph, dress smart tomorrow, will you? Dress smart, dress smart, be ready, and do what you can to get the Giants a win, will you?
I'll try my best. I've been a pretty good failure at that lately, but I'll try.
Thanks, Ralph. Ralph Macchiato, SNY, giving us the scoop on both the Jets and the Giants.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.